Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well.
All right, all you positive heads, welcome. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today. Samantha and I are back with Bells On, and we are super excited to talk about this fun topic today. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Erica. I'm excited to see you. Hi, positive head listeners. We love you.
We so do. And one of our listeners, Emily, sent an email, and she had a question after listening to last week's episode of your very exciting news with your soulmate. And she said, I enjoy hearing about you and Samantha's respective love stories and would be interested in hearing more about your past relationships versus this one, twin flame versus soulmate, how you called in your soulmates and anything else you feel called to share. Thank you. Much love, Emily. Much love to you, Emily. Thank you so much for this. We love this topic. And yeah, we're really excited to get into it. You want to start, Samantha?
Yeah, I do. I've made a lot of videos and talked publicly about my twin flame soulmate relationships because I've definitely gone through that quite a lot. And as you know, if you've been listening, I was just dating my twin flame for about 3.5 years. And now I am engaged to my soulmate. And there is a huge difference between your twin flame and your soulmate. They can be the same person. They are not often the same person. And there's a lot out there in the media rhetoric or in the spiritual world or like in articles that you'll read about these topics that can make it really, really confusing. There's a lot of conflicting messages out there. So I'll start off by giving my experience or my opinion of my definition of a twin flame and a soulmate. And yeah, how I see a twin flame is not so much the way that Matt Kahn sees it as like this negative, toxic person in your life that's just here to trigger your shit and here to make you evolve and wake up and that's abusive and bad for you. And then you're supposed to like ascend from that and then meeting your soulmate. I think a twin flame is like the, you know, you can call it the other half, the yin to your yang or the yang to your yin, the other half of your soul, maybe a conception of creation potentially. But essentially it is somebody that's very, that does trigger you. It's a very intense, passionate, triggering, very frustrating type of energy. Mm-hmm. Like imagine two fires like coming together, explosive. And it's there to really catalyze your greatest growth, your greatest healing, your greatest awakening. And it's here to call you forward. Like it's really here to just shake you and hold a mirror up to you. Whereas a soulmate, in my definition, is a little easier. It's like your soul's best friend, somebody that's there as your best friend, somebody to totally cheer you on, somebody that it's a lot easier and more harmonious and lighter, a lot less triggering and less of that like super intense like fire energy essentially. And yeah, that's the way that I would define it. And then the second thing that I'll say before we jump further is there's two strains of thought. One strain of thought is that you are not meant to be with your twin flame. You're meant to be with your soulmate. The other one is that you are destined to be with your twin flame. And no matter what you do, if you do the healing, you will end up being with your twin flame because they're the other part of your soul. Now, I believe that both of those are right and both of those are wrong. Mm-hmm. It's really up to you. You can decide if you want to be with your twin flame and you want to walk that path. Because it's certainly an amazing path that you can walk, or you can choose that you want to be with your soulmate, which is another really amazing path. And not one or the other is better or worse necessarily. It's really just about what kind of experience your soul is looking for at this time space, this reality, this incarnation.
Yeah, that's a really good rundown, Samantha. I love that. Thank you. I agree with you that the twin flame relationship is a lot more triggering, but can also be super beneficial. All relationships are triggering. All relationships are meant to show us the parts in ourselves that we need to better, to increase our vibration, you know, to really level up. And so relationships are hard, whether it's a soulmate relationship or a twin flame relationship. And for me, I feel like the difference in my relationships was that my twin flame was somebody who was, like you said, so much like me, like the other half of me. And we really resonated so much together. We both felt that intuitively we were tied together through the lifetimes. The difference for us was that I was really into the relationship and he was not. But he loved me immensely and I loved him immensely. But that's what made it very confusing for me, was because he didn't want to actually be in a relationship with me. And I didn't get that because we loved each other so much. Well, we loved each other so much because we've been loving each other through the lifetimes. But the timing here, whether we were meant to, or if we decided before we came in that being together was a possibility in this lifetime, then that's why we always meet our others, you know, our soul, because they're all soulmates, right? They're all souls that we've been with for lifetimes. But we all make free will choices and we're all at certain points in our journey. And that is going to be what it's going to be. And so sometimes we don't meet our potential or our other soulmates in the right time. And that's totally okay, because then that winds up being perfect in your timeline, because no matter what, we learn from them exactly what we're supposed to. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's something that my twin flame and I really had, was I feel like when I tap into the agreement that we have, it was to trigger each other's wounds, yes, to catalyze the greatest healing, to bring us to that next step of evolution and awakening, and to also force us to choose ourselves.
Yeah.
Force us to choose ourselves. And we definitely, just like Erica said, we have this really intense, these similarities, this connection. Like, I'll give a little example, something that's strange. Like my twin flame and I, we are born in the exact same hospital, like 10 days apart. We were supposed to be born the same day. Actually, I was born a week early. He was born a week late. We have the exact same human design, the exact same astrology. We were both Leo dragons. We have the exact same blood type. We have like all these same experiences. We grew up in the same city, went to school on the same street at the same time, traveled to all of the same places at the same time, literally within days of each other. We have crossed paths so many times all around the world. When we ended up meeting, it was because I had three people tell me I had to meet this person because we were so similar. And then it turns out when I went to search him on Facebook, we were already friends. And the connection was just, when we first met, it was, I actually couldn't stand him, but I was so drawn to him. And we kept like, it was super fiery. And then we just started to read each other's minds. And we were very, very hyper, like super hyper connected. But it was very challenging and triggering and painful, really, for me. Pretty much throughout. It was amazing in a lot of ways as well, but very, very challenging as well.
Yeah. So that sounds like one of those relationships that you decided beforehand, we are going to meet at whatever point, and when the timing is right, we are going to meet, but this is the job that we are going to do together.
Yes, right? Absolutely. And, I won't.
Yeah. That feeling that we get when we meet people like this of, oh my God, I know you. I love you. And even though I might not be able to stand you right now, there's still something drawing me to you. And that's a soulmate relationship, twin flame, whatever, however you want to call it. For me, I don't like to put them in the boxes because there is no one definition. They're all our soulmates and they're all going to trigger us. And some of them, one, two, who knows how many of them, we're meant to be in longer relationships with, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm in a relationship with my soulmate now for years. And yeah, there's plenty of times where we trigger each other. But the difference I feel like is our love withstands all of it. It just supersedes all of it. It's like I could be furiously mad and want to rip his face off one second, but then look at him and know how much I love him and be like, okay, it's all right. I can learn from this myself. This is about me, you know? Yeah. So I think it's really a choice too. I don't know if there's really a meant to be with one or the other. I feel like we could be with whoever.
I agree. Yeah.
Other soulmate that comes into our life, because there's not just one. There's not just one. There's lots, depending on where we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're ready for, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think in my situation, there, like, I really got to go deep and it really opened me up to some of my more spiritual gifts, my more psychic gifts. I got to see our past lives together. I investigated. It turns out we had over 400 past lives together. And I started to see them and have visions of them, which was something that didn't happen before our meeting. However, there was always something inside me right from the moment we started to see each other that I said, like, it's so intense, it's so connected, but I know that he's not the one. And but even though it was amazing and connected and we were so aligned and on paper, we were perfect and the energy and like he was my best friend and we did such great things together. But there was just something inside of me throughout the whole time that I fought. I fought internally that just said, but it's not him. And in my heart, in my mind, in my visions, I always knew who I was going to marry. I knew what he looked like. I knew how he felt. I knew the storyline. Like there were premonitions of him from different psychic intuitives saying I was going to meet him in an airport and who he is, what he's like. And so I kept tuning into this. My soul kept saying, like, even though you love your ex-partner now, he's not the one. And as soon as I broke up with him, as soon as I really closed it out, 2 days later, I ended up meeting my now, you know, partner. And when I met my partner, it was just such a knowingness. It was like this is it. And it was light and it was happy. And it was just such a clear yes. And it didn't cause so much internal struggle, internal conflict and pain. And I think that is really how it gets to feel and how I want it to feel. I wanted it to be light and easy and harmonious.
Yes. And that is the discerning factor. When the two of you feel the same way, and so then everything is light and harmonious. There are no questions as to how the other person is. You're right on the same page with this. What's interesting hearing you talk about how you felt about this prior relationship. So I was in his spot. Right. When I talked about my prior relationship, I was so absolutely loving him, but he felt like, no, I have this idea of who I'm supposed to marry and who I'm going to be with. And it's not you. Like, I'm sorry, I love you, but it's just not you. And that's a hard thing to swallow. For me, it was. I'm like, you know, what? What do you mean? But being able to go through that process, you said this at the beginning too, of what you were just saying there. It was a true awakening process for me. It was really a way for me to understand my own boundaries, what I want in my life. And when I looked at that, do I want to be with someone who isn't 100% truly with me and like loves every ounce of that? Or do I want to be with someone who's questioning, is there somebody better? No, I want more for myself, right? And so when we can learn that for ourselves, like what I'm worth and where my boundaries are and what I really want, these relationships are so beautiful in that way. And it really triggered my spiritual awakening process, because you start getting into past lives, like you said, you start asking the why questions and trying to figure out the energies and all of it. And so, yes, it has many different reasons, all these relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one characteristic that you'll hear about of the twin flame relationship and something that I've experienced is this cat and mouse type of energy. And at first, I was like, at the first few years with my ex, I was very much like, we're going to be together forever. Like, I really, like, even though I did internally, there's something off, I just thought that, well, we just need to try harder. Like, that, no, we have to be together. We have this crazy connection, right? And like, it has to be this way. Why don't you want to be together? Why don't you want to get married? Why don't you want to have kids? Like, he was more distant and I was more attached. And then once we ended up breaking up a couple times ago and I kind of moved on, then the roles totally switched. And then he became the chaser and I kind of became the one that was a little bit more avoidant, and we went back and forth. And our entire relationship of what I experienced in the beginning, the first year and a half, flipped. And then I went through everything he experienced and the reverse. So I got to learn so much about myself by being in his position and then in my own position, looking at that mirror. And it really had to go through this whole cycle. And the cycle kept going over and over and over. And the only thing that changed that cycle was me, like, really deeply being in my truth. And even though that was one of the most painful, challenging decisions I ever made, because I was deeply in love with this person, I know that it's the best thing for him as well, because he deserves to be with somebody, like you said, that chooses him 111%.
Right.
Right. Not somebody who's constantly questioning. And I feel
like all deserve that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love him enough to tell him, hey, I can't choose you because I can't choose you, and you deserve to be fully chosen. Right. And then on the other hand, with my soulmate, I didn't have to ask. Like, when we talked about getting married, I didn't even have to question. It was like, yes, of course, let's do this.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. That's the way it feels. It's like, of course we're getting married. Like, that's what we do, because you're my person. Like, you're my person. You just know it. It just feels that way. And it's easy. It's just so easy. Yeah, I love that cat and mouse game. It happens in these relationships, but we learn a lot. And when we come into our own truth, like you said, it changes the whole game. Like, okay, all right, now I get this. And then you open up that space for the relationship that really makes you feel amazing. Because otherwise, you're not allowing anybody else in, holding that space with somebody else. Because we do, even if we're not in these relationships, a lot of times we'll hold on to it. I know I held on to it for a really long time. And he didn't help, because we had such a strong connection that every time something good or bad in his life came up, I was the person that got the phone call if he wasn't in a relationship, right? So he would always come back to me, and I would always think, well, see, of course we're meant to be together.
But yeah, no. You and him were definitely the same person. I fully feel that. Like, yeah, he was that person for me too, that I would keep messaging him and going back to him emotionally and mentally. And that was something that I recognized was not something that I can continue, and I don't want to continue. It's not fair for me, nor him, nor my new partner. And it's not something that, but it's not clear and easy all the time. It's like, how do you transition?
This is what trips us up.
Exactly.
Gets us all
confused. And that's where... Exactly. And that's where it's so much more than a superficial thing. It's so much more than just, oh, we used to date. It's, no, you know, we are all soulmates, and we all do have these deep spiritual connections. And it really takes a lot of time and attention and energy to define the new dynamics of things, and to really be in your highest truth and choose love for yourself and love for all parties. And that's not always the clearest pathway.
Right. Yeah. I think the easiest way to make that discernment is there's a mutual knowingness. That's it. It's equal. It's mutual. And you both just know it exactly the same. That feeling inside, you feel it. That's the easiest discernment. If it's off, unbalanced in some way, maybe it's just not right. You know, for me, that's what's become the discerning factor to make it the easiest. But there's all those things that just come in and confuse the process for us. But it can be easy if we just trust what's in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And then on the other side of that, like, it's not always, you know, if I think about it, my ex-partner's here in Montreal. We have all the same friends. We're in the same work. That could be easy, where my current partner lives in Spain and we don't have the same friends, and we're like, we're worlds apart and all these different things. And there's visas and there's Corona and there's travel involved and there's like all sorts of things. And so it's a lot more complicated, the logistics, mm-hmm. but the dynamic and the love is just so easy.
Yeah.
And then anything that's worth it takes work, right? So,
totally.
But the one thing I do want to mention about the twin flame relationship, something that I see a lot in my clients, is this like toxic addiction that people have together. And they're like, oh, well, mm-hmm. we're addicted to each other and it's super toxic and we're fighting all the time and there's always drama. And sometimes, oftentimes the police are involved or it's like so toxic. They're like, oh, but it's my twin flame. I'm meant to be with them. Maybe, but if it's abusive, it is not okay. Like abuse is not love. And it's really important to discern that. And then the other thing I'll say is, you know, you can get caught up in the victimhood if you're in a twin flame relationship, always blaming your partner. I know I did. But it's a really beautiful opportunity for you to ask yourself, how are they mirroring to me where I need to take responsibility and where I need to grow and where I need to shift? And truly for me, that's what shifted the entire dynamic between me and my twin flame for the better. Like the last year of our relationship was really great because I started to take responsibility of where I was a victim and where I wasn't claiming and owning the parts that I was playing in our challenging dynamic.
Yeah. Because like I was saying at the beginning, this is the entire point of relationships. Those triggers are to be our mirrors so that we can figure out our own stuff, balance it so that we can evolve, so that we don't stay stuck in lower energies. It's our mirror showing us where we need to improve ourselves. And while it's hard, it's such a beautiful gift. And I want to add too, what's interesting, my old partner, we're still friends, of course, and he's now married. And I think I love his wife more than I love him. And what's so great about that is that I can really look at her and be like, now this is your wife. I know him so well. I know. And I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, she's so perfect for you. If you were with me, you'd be miserable. And I don't like that. We would both be miserable. This is your wife. And that's so beautiful. Like, to see the aftermath and how it's all worked out over these years. It's been a long time. And we all can hang out together. Like they've come over for dinner and the kids play. And it's great when you can still be friends with your ex-partners because people think it's weird when you do this. I don't. They're in your life. You love them for a reason. Just because you're not sleeping together anymore and you don't want to love on each other like that, it's okay. You're still friends. You're in each other's life for a reason. They don't need to leave your life. You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree totally. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, to wrap up, by the way, the last part that we forgot to touch upon was how did we call in our soulmates? I think that was a part of the question as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'll touch upon that real quick. Yeah. You're welcome. What I did, there were a few things. Like I was talking to different psychics and Akashic Records readers and my best friend and doing like little mushroom journeys. And it kept coming to me that he was coming very soon. And what I did was I really meditated and I visualized and I felt the feeling of how I wanted to feel. And I wrote out exactly who he was and how it felt and how we interacted. And like, I just really did manifestation and even orgasmic manifestation where you implant what you're looking to call in and create. And as you are self-pleasuring, as you're about to climax, you anchor the intention into your orgasm and you shoot it off into the universe. And I just had this beautiful practice of journaling, meditating, manifesting, orgasmic manifesting, and just trusting like that I've done the work to call in this divine soul partner and that I'm ready for him and I want him now. and then he came.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And that's such a powerful way. Using that orgasm energy is very, very powerful. So you have to be careful with that. Make sure your intentions are pure. The way that I did it was that I like what you said there about feeling what you wanted it to feel like and really sitting in that, because that's very important, because that's also goes back to really knowing what your boundaries are and what's okay for you and what you need and want in your life. Right. And then the big piece for me too was letting go of the idea of what it like had to look like or had to be. I had this idea of like kind of what I wanted him to look like, and it was leaving me with blinders. I wasn't kind of being open to all the possibilities, and so I just kind of released everything. and was just like, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. And I wound up getting the opposite of what I normally would have picked. Like, if I were to walk into a room and scan the room and see, okay, which guy am I attracted to? It's the opposite of what I wound up with. Not
really?
That I'm not attracted. Yes, not that, yeah. I love my partner, Brian. I'm very attracted to him. But I, you know, the blonde hair, blue-eyed, light-skinned thing was just never my bag.
That's true. I know. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I would have never picked him. I had to let go of that idea of what he needed to look like, that like darker skinned athlete, muscular, tall, you know, that wasn't serving me.
I was so clear. I was like, he's taller than me. He has sandy blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect teeth, really built, very strong. And he is exactly like that. Like, yeah. To the T. It's so much so that it freaked my friends out. Even my little brother, he goes, Sam, he's the guy that you described to me before you met him. He's identical. He literally is to the T identical. And I said, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that
works
was blocking
in
me
ways.
Though. You know, so me, that was the block, that it had to look in a certain way. And that's never good. So for you, it wasn't that. It was just more of an aesthetically pleasing thing. For me, it wasn't. It was the block, right? So that had to go. That's the difference. Yeah. Yeah. So it's all individualized, right? However it is for you, look where your blocks are. Like, are you always eating the same ice cream, just a different flavor, right? That was my block. So.
Yeah. My block was that he had to be this like game changing world leader. That was a huge thing for me. Like, he had to be, you know, and then when I let that go, my partner he's not into spiritual. Well, I mean, it's not that he's not into spirituality, but he didn't even know that he was into spirituality. He's not an entrepreneur. He has an amazing job that he loves. It's his dream job, but he's not what I would call like a world changer. Mm-hmm. But I actually love that because he joins me in my world changing endeavors, and he's so supportive and he's so stable and like nurturing and has a strong foundation, and it ended up being better than I could have ever imagined.
Say, when you open up to the possibilities and you let yourself just let it, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. And then you learn, oh, this is why. And look at all this that I get to learn. And wow, this is amazing. Yeah. So really just opening up that space, I think, is, and there's a little hummingbird. So that was a little confirmation that just flew by my window. Open to the possibilities, says the hummingbird.
I love that. Oh, yes. Yay. Well, thank you so much for writing in with your question. We love
Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you so much, and we're so excited to see you next time.
Yes, and if you have any other questions, anyone, please reach out to Erica at Positive Head or Samantha, what's yours?
Just Instagram is the best. That's the way I respond the best. Emails, I don't know if I even check my emails anymore, but it's @Samantha_Lotus.
Okay, L-O-T-U-S. Awesome. All right, well, we love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next time. We're going to leave you with a song. This is Sassafras by Rising Appalachia. Until next time, love you all.
Also, before we cue up today's song, I wanted to remind you about the Game with the Universe on our website, where you can choose the first number that comes to your mind and it'll pull up that episode number of the podcast. I've been saying this is a great way to co-create synchronicity and magic with your higher self for quite some time. And if you go to positivehead.com/universe, there is a super fun and simple interface to play this game with your higher self. I firmly believe just by setting the intention to play in this way, it opens up the door for magic, and it's a synchronistic way to hone in on nuggets of wisdom out of the huge catalog of episodes that are specifically appropriate for you at this time in your journey to becoming the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And it also makes for a super fun way to spark the curiosity of friends and family by having them choose a number. So they'll hopefully go and check out their number as well, which I greatly appreciate because it helps us to spread the word about the podcast. Once again, the address is positivehead.com/universe. And as a quick reminder, if you're curious to learn more about Purium Superfoods and why I take them almost every day, be sure to also check out positivehead.com/transformation. On this journey of becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves that we have all embarked upon, I cannot stress the importance of managing your physical vibration enough. And quite honestly, Purium has put together the simplest plan I've found to do so. I have my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, at least 5 times a week. Once again, to learn more about the Purium transformation, go to positivehead.com/transformation. Or if you want to keep it simple and just try out my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, you can go straight over to ishoppurium.com and be sure to use code POSITIVEHEAD for 25% off. I'll spell that for you. It's ishoppurium.com and be sure to use your Positive Head 25% coupon code.
Too much tobacco, gotta let that shit go.